Welcome everybody to Monday Night Recovery. Good to see all the smiling faces. Happy, happy, happy. Praise God. Love y'all. Jesus is Lord. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We're going to take up an offering where scripture is out of Haggai, of all places. When's the last time I've been to Haggai? It's been a few months or years, I don't know. But we're going to go to Haggai. You might want to pray I can find it. There's Habakkuk, kind of like, there it is, right after Zephaniah. Well, they got some cool names, don't they? I want Zephaniah. All right, praise God. Haggai 2, 6 through 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, and sea and dry ground, land. And I will shake all nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is the Lord's. The gold is the Lord's. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's for, why is it here? Because it's for his children like you and me. His silver and gold is for you and me. His provision is for me, you and me. That's what Lord means, bread provider. Your needs being met. Did you notice in verse 9 it said the glory of the latter temple? Well, remember they had the first temple there that they built by hands in Jerusalem? The temple. Now the latter temple, the Lord was giving me. It was so cool. And remember, the old temple in Jerusalem had the Holy Spirit hung up in there. He was staying in the inner part of the temple. He was in that room, the inner room. And when Jesus died on the cross, and that veil tore, and Holy Spirit came out. Now, it's so cool. This is so awesome. Yes, the latter temple should be greater than the former. We all are the latter temple because the Holy Spirit's in us. It's not in that building no more. Praise God, it came out. It's in us. He gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of how to get wealth, how to be blessed. And the silver and gold's our daddies, and he's given it to us. Praise God. We're coming into a time of a great wealth transfer to the body of Christ. Because we're his temple. And I believe we're right there at it. I believe we're right there at it, praise God. It's transferring into our hands, hallelujah. So let's give God praise, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this blessing, Lord. And, Lord, we come to you. Lord, I don't tithes and offerings, Lord. Your word said, giving it should be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give in our bosom for the same measure we meet. It also says that we can believe for at least 100-fold on our giving. That's at least we ought to believe for 100-fold back on every dollar when we're giving offerings. And you said, bring the tithes in the storehouse of the Lord and prove you in it, and you open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on us. There's not room enough to contain it all. You rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff. The enemy shall not destroy the fruits of our ground, and all shall cause happy and blessed. Lord, we just take this and wave this to you. Lord Jesus, take this and worship our Father. Put it on the altar and worship our Father in heaven with it. And we're believing for, we're seeking for a billionfold return on salvations, healings, finances, just to come back to us, Lord. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call it done. Amen. All right, Pastor Monica, she's got the word tonight. She's going to enlighten us, illuminate us with the word. Praise God.
Could you set me up? Amen. Praise God. I'm ready. Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, I'm going to pray. Well, Father God, I just pray, Lord, because I'm just believing, Lord, that you're going to speak through me, and it's going to be a word that we need to hear, Father God. Just anoint me now. And, Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts that are receptive, ears ready to hear, and supernatural understanding, because you said when we understand, we would be healed. And Lord, you also said you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles following. So I'm believing for that. I'm believing we're not going to leave here the same old same. No, we're going to leave here different. We're going to leave here healed, set free, delivered, full of your word, full of your wisdom, full of your spirit, full of hope, which is an anchor to our soul. And Satan, I'm telling you now, I bind you from operating against us. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. And all who agree say amen. Amen. I'm actually going to talk about, I've never done this for recovery before, and I've only taught this once here. And it's how to operate in the power of God, how to hear God's voice. We want to hear God's voice. And I want to start off with Romans 10:17, because it all starts by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, the message through the word of Christ, the good news about Christ, the word of God. In fact, if you know, I'm not teaching on it today, but I've heard teachings that everything points to Jesus, from the old all the way down to Genesis. All points to Jesus. Isn't that good? And so faith in the devil comes by hearing his words over and over and over. Right? Faith in the bad news comes from hearing the bad news over and over and over. We don't want that. We want to hear the good news about Jesus. Amen? The word of God believed in our heart and spoken out of our heart, spoken out of our mouth, becomes a spiritual force that turns on the power of God. And it's loosed. It's released. Isn't that cool? Matthew 18:18. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This is Jesus' words. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Another way to look at it, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And so when we're speaking out the word of God, we're releasing it, we're loosing it. But it could be the same way with the devil's words. We say no in Jesus' name, right? You know, teaching about confessing the word of God is not popular, but this isn't about being popular. This is about being biblically correct. Not politically correct, biblically correct. That's what's important. And I want to... And I'm going to build us up to it because this is fascinating. But I want to look at Romans 10, verses 6 through 10. And starts off with faith. All right, let's start down here. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. In fact, it says this, the message is very close at hand. It is on our lips and in our heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Faith is in your heart and out of your lips. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, let's go next page. Here's the Amplified. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring, right, declaring your faith that you are saved. And then here's the Amplified. But the righteousness based on faith, which is imputed or given or placed by God and bringing right relationship with him, which is a free gift. It's a free gift. We just have to take it, receive it. Says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we could be saved by our own efforts. Do you see that, Deuteronomy 30? We're going to look at that when I'm done. See, God already planned this ahead of time. But what does it say, the word, which is God's message in Christ? is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, just by believing him. We believe, we take him at his word, and so that makes us right. Isn't that good? We don't have to do anything else. And so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. Amen. Now look at Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now I want us to keep a track on that. The voice. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your mind and with all your heart, with all your being. This commandment which I command you this day is not too difficult for you. It's not too far off. It's not a secret laid up in heavens. Right? That you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it? Or neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who shall go over there? And bring it to us, that we may hear and do. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can do it. Isn't that good? He's telling us how faith works. We got to get it in our mind and in our heart and out of our mouth, so that we can do it, because his word is alive and powerful, right? See, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Amen? So we know it's true, but how does that work? I'm going to skip all that. It makes a difference. You know, if your mom tells you to do something, you know, we get to a certain age, we're like, well, why? Why? Why do I got to do it, right? But when we understand, I mean, we have to do it by faith. We don't understand, everyone understands the word in part, right? There's not one person except for Jesus that knows all about the word of God. We all know in part. But when you get a certain understanding of it, man, it just makes it easier, don't it? You know, and is that better? Okay. I want to talk about how it works. When you take God's word and put it in your mouth. I'm going to look at Psalms 34:8. There it is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, it's a challenge. Are we going to taste and see? Are we going to believe him? This will make sense as we go further along. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. Now remember, Joshua, they just crossed the Jordan. They're about to take over the land. And it wasn't going to be something he was just going to come in and say, okay, we're here. No, they had to take down the giants, right? The giants, and they weren't just a little. These were giants. They actually found their bones. Okay. Right. That better? They were giants. I should have got the stats on it. And so God didn't tell them, well, you need to fast for a month. He didn't say that. He didn't say you had to go do your bodybuilding. He didn't say you had to go to the range and practice your shooting, combat skills. This is what, although they probably did do that, I don't know. But this is what God told him what to do. He said, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And you know why? Because it's a spiritual battle. Even back then, it was a spiritual battle. And the Word of God made everything. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. So we can see it. It's a little too big now. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue can bring life or death. Death and power. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The fruit is what comes after doing and speaking the word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say. Right? And we'll make our way prosperous. You know, the words we speak are probably more important to you than anyone else's words. You know, your words affect you more than anyone else. What you say to yourself and about yourself is more important than what anyone else says. We just don't realize it. Think about this. How many of you ever heard yourself on a recording for the first time? You're like, is that me? Is that my voice? Has that ever happened to you? The first time you heard your recorded voice, I was like, man, that don't even sound like me. You know why? Because we have two ears. We have our outer ear, and then we have an inner ear. Why? God did that on purpose so that we could hear. We have a voice on the inside through our inner ear to go into our spirits. Isn't that cool? And he did it for a reason. He has a purpose in it. And I'm going to show you what that is. Think about that. We were made with two sets of ears, an outer and an inner. Right? And see, our words feeds our spirit. It's supposed to feed our spirit, our own words. And see, the human spirit is what the Bible calls the heart. And so this is why the words we speak to ourselves are more important than anyone else's words. Medical science has found out that the part of the brain that controls the speech, did you know it's connected to every nerve in your body? Yeah, our speech is directly connected to our nerves. That's why it's so important that we get our words lined up with the Word of God. The words we speak about ourselves affects our health, including our mental health and our physical health, and it's confirmed by medical science. They need to be telling everyone this. Let's look at Proverbs 4, verse 21. He's talking about the Word of God. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What's in our heart determines where we're going in life. And we have control of that, thank God. We can change that. Avoid all perverse talk. Perverse talk is just anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Stay away from corrupt speech. Corrupt speech is anything that's contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Medical science has confirmed that what we say determines what happens to my mental health, my physical health. It even changes your DNA if you keep saying the Word of God. It'll even change your DNA for future generations after us. You know, when we begin to speak the Word of God over ourselves, it brings healing to our physical brain and then our physical body. Isn't that cool? And then it even goes down deep into our DNA. That's medical. To the next generation. And Jesus knew this when he said this. Mark 11:22. He knew this. Jesus said this. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, and that mountain is anything that is keeping you from being blessed, keeping you from being healed, keeping you from prospering. You can say to that mountain, may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. You know what? You can have doubt in your brain and still have faith in your heart. And you know how you can tell? Because you say it anyway. Now, when you doubt will stop you from doing it. Fear and doubt will stop you. But if you do it anyway, that's faith. Amen? So don't worry about those thoughts. Just say it anyway. I tell you, you could pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. Isn't that good? That's good. And see, this is the reason. We're getting to the fun part. This is the reason. Genesis 1, chapter 1. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, I want us to notice a few things. First off, God didn't say, "Look, it's dark." He didn't say that, did he? That's what we would have done, right? No. And another thing is, the Holy Spirit was hovering. Nothing happened till God spoke. The Holy Spirit was waiting on the Word of God. You know, we were listening to Kenneth Copeland talking about prosperity, and he said something. He said that God is everywhere just waiting for someone to call out to Jesus for salvation. And then today I thought about this. I was studying this and listening the teaching, I don't even remember what I was listening to. I was listening to a different teaching. Kenneth Copeland was talking about faith. And he was talking about Genesis 1. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over each person waiting to hear someone act in faith for salvation, healing, deliverance, or anything. Isn't that cool? Waiting to hear the Word of God. See, nothing happened till the word was spoken. And the word was created all this. In fact, quantum physics, not in here, quantum physics has proven that the spoken word from human beings, that all everything, matter, responds to the mankind's spoken word. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. And see, this is God. This is God's method, not man's. Man's method, well, it's dark. Who knew? It'd be dark for a long time. But God, he spoke the answer. He saw the darkness. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Whatever he wanted and needed, he spoke the answer. That's what we need to follow, his example. Amen? And here's another thing. Let's look at John 12:49. This is what, I never knew this is what Jesus said. I never really paid attention to this. But this is what Jesus said, "For I did not speak of my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I don't speak of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." He only spoke what God told him to speak. I'm only going to speak the word of God with his help. With his help. Amen. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith doesn't come by reading the word. It comes by hearing the word. So that's why we need to read the word of God out loud. And also, I'll tell you, we can listen to the word of God on your phone, and when I do that, I'll do that. But we also read the word out loud because we have that inner ear. And so when we hear ourselves speaking the word, it goes straight to our spirit and makes it easier for us to have faith. Isn't that amazing? It's pretty amazing. And here's something. Luke. I want to look at Luke 4:1. Now, remember when Jesus was challenged by the devil? The devil took him up. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, because most of our fight is going to be the enemy, and it's going to be in our mind. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And you know, that pressure comes, those negative thoughts, oh my gosh. And you have to be careful when you're in when you're in the spiritual battle. You have to be careful. Like my pastor always says, keep it contained, zip it. It's better if you can say the word. If you can say the word like Jesus did. But for no matter what, do not say what the devil is saying. Keep it contained. I still remember that. I had to write it down. And so Jesus ate nothing all that time, became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus said, nope. The scripture says people do not live by bread alone. You know, what was Jesus doing? He was being faithful to what God told him to do. And the devil was trying to get him off track. And so he quoted the word. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. Yeah, illegally. And Jesus had to get it back for us. I will give it all to you if you'll worship me. And Jesus replied, the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. He only said the word. Well, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, see, now he's using this, the word of God, isn't he? He will order his angels to protect and guard you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. So then, the devil finished tempting him. He left him until the next opportunity came. So Jesus passed that test. So the devil gave up and left. And then he always looks for when we're weak. He always looks. So we always have to stay full of the word of God. But I want us to notice something. Verse 3. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Or tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. Command this stone to become bread. I noticed he could have done that. He could have spoken to that stone and it would have been bread. He had that kind of authority and power. See, in order to have faith in God's word, we have to believe. We have to believe God's word. God's word is filled with faith and power. It is. It's full of his power. It has the power to bring itself to pass. The word was made to be planted in our spirit and spoken out and released so it can get to work. Isn't that good? In fact, Luke 1:37 says this. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And I like this. Because no word shall be impossible with God. No word from God shall be void of power. Right? It has the power to bring itself to pass. And so our voice on the recording hadn't changed. It's just we never heard it before. Our inner voice. We have an inner voice. Let's look at Proverbs 7:3, and this is why I believe. Proverbs 7:3 says this. Tie them, he's talking about the word of God, on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We have a tablet in our heart. So when we speak the word of God, it's being written down in our heart. Isn't that cool? So it'll be there for when we need it. Here's Proverbs 3:3. It says this: never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart, or write them on a tablet of your heart. We have a tablet on our heart. Amen. And then Psalms 45:1 says this: my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer, or my tongue is like the pen of a skillful poet. He's not talking about writing down a song. He's talking about his tongue is writing, and it goes down into your heart on the tablet of your heart. And then Psalms 103:20, which we love this, says this: my tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. Yeah. But Psalms 103:20 says this: praise the Lord, you whose angels, the mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word, listening for each of his commands, obeying the voice of his word. Here's another version right here: hearkening unto the voice of his word. And hearkening means listening intelligently and declaring. So they're listening. The angels are listening for the word of God. It's being written down in our heart. And then when we speak it out, it's being written on our heart and it's released. And then the angels can go to work because they're listening for it. That's what we need to do. So we shouldn't be walking around thinking, and this is for myself too, okay? We shouldn't be walking around thinking we're victims, right? We can actually change our circumstances by speaking the word of God. You know, I don't know if you watched War Room, but we watched it again. And it was a great reminder. Instead of thinking about negative, we need to go into our war room, get all our promises out, and speak it out. Praise God. And that puts the angels to work. It puts God to work. And it brings peace into our heart and mind while God is at work. We got to let it go so we can let God work on it. If we don't release it and let God work on it, we're stuck with it. And I can't fix. There's things we can't fix. We can't fix it, but God can. You know, the other day during praise and worship, God was telling me, you can't fix it, but I can. I can fix it. You just got to believe that I will. Let it go. So I said, yes, sir. So we got to remind ourselves to let it go and let him work on it and start thanking him. Thank you, Lord, you're fixing this. And then declare and release the promises. So I hope that helped and encouraged. Amen.